In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This is That Story Show, where we don't drink or drive. Hey, podcast people. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison.
And I'm John Steinklauber. And I'm still here.
Yeah, we're loving life. Okay, so there are times, John, where we don't do shows, right?
Yep.
And if we don't do a show, it's either because I'm depressed, because I struggle with depression, or I have something in real life that comes up, or you have something in life that comes up, which is very rare. But still most of the time, it has to do with show prep.
Right.
And I have struggled this week and in weeks prior to do show prep. So you know what we're doing today?
What?
We're going in prepless.
Prepless?
Yeah.
Is that like a dragon from There Might Be Dragons? What was his name of that?
Karen Dragons? Feeding of Dragons? No.
Yeah.
It's the husband's book.
Oh.
How to train. I was going to say, yeah. Please. Dragon. It's not where I needed to go. So anyway, we're just going in prepless today, and it's either this or no show. So I figured you guys would rather have a show. I would rather have a show.
I would. And it's like a grab bag. It's going to be a super big surprise.
Yeah, we never know what's coming.
Pull them out of the inbox and read it, and there we go.
Yeah, and just chat also. Speaking of chat, I'd like to let everyone know, though you can't see him, John Steinklauber used to have a beard, and he surprised me today by not having a beard. And he had a big beard.
Yeah.
And now he has no beard. I don't know if you've seen him.
I got a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah. But it's white and gray.
Yeah.
It's not really a shadow. It's more of a ghost.
It's like a light snow dusting.
It's like this is what a beard used to be. Now it's dead.
It's kind of a sad thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so it's I will do a weekly update. I do have that. So and John, feel free if you have anything.
I have a weekly update.
Good. So we went to Texas Roadhouse. We go there once in a while. And we had eaten and we were walking out. And, you know, when you walk out of a Texas Roadhouse, it's kind of like you're weaving through a party of ants, you know, human sized ants, because everybody's trying to get in all the way down the hallway. There's, you know, these thin aisles and people are carrying food and other people are trying to get in and other people are trying to get out. And I just want to get the freak out.
Yeah.
So I'm weaving and ducking, moving around, and I turn the corner right before you turn right to go past the hostesses. And there's a pair of pants on the floor, like a full grown adult pair of pants.
Like human sized.
Yeah.
Grown man person.
And I kind of looked left and right because I'm thinking somebody must have dropped these. There's pants, this person somewhere around here. But it wasn't toddler pants. It wasn't a child's pants. It was a full grown man's pants. So I went around the corner. I stepped over him and went around the corner. And I just went to I just ducked in my head into the booth and said, there's a pair of men's pants on the floor around the corner. And they look at me kind of half smile. I'm like, this is not a YouTube gag. I'm not joking. There's really a pair of pants around the corner. And I waited because I wanted them to know I wasn't lying. I waited because I knew they thought I was full of crap and I wanted to make sure they actually went around the corner. So they did. And they came back and I started walking. as soon as I saw that they saw it, because they're all like, you know, looking back at each other like, yo, whoa, whoa. It's like a telephone thing, you know, it's going back. And they pick up the pants and they hold them up to me like I created them or something.
Are these your pants, sir?
And I just said, see, I told you. And then I left and that was it. But there were so many different things, I'm sure, that were going through their mind. Like, you know, first of all, they thought I was joking, I'm sure. And then secondly, they're probably cursing themselves because they didn't have their TikTok going at the time. I'm sure right. It was probably banned by that point.
Is it back yet?
I heard it's back. I think the deal with TikTok is they want to sell it, or they want, the U.S. wants them to sell it, so we own it. They don't care if the Chinese make money. They just don't want our stuff going overseas.
Right.
Anyway.
Data.
I don't know how I got off on that, but yeah, it was pretty funny finding a pair of shorts, or a pair of pants rather, on the floor in a full-grown restaurant. I don't even know how that would have happened. I don't know if they scanned the restaurant.
Yeah.
Sir.
Dude without pants.
Yeah, with just some striped boxers. And they're like, we have a feeling, sir, that first of all, you've been overserved. And then second, that these are your pants.
Yeah. And I don't know. There's just...
Who brings extra pants? Somebody's got no pants.
Were they jeans or were they like...
They were just like they weren't blacks. Khakis. They were more of the bedtime, not pajamas, but like they were male, so they weren't skin tight, but they were made out of like exercise or relaxing material. I don't know.
Oh, like a sort of like a sweatpant kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like sweatpants. Somebody's sweatpants. Or chinos, sometimes I've heard them called, referred like chinos.
I gotta look that up.
I hope that's the right word.
I know my wife said something the other day. Okay, yeah, you're not wrong. They look like khakis.
Yeah, so they got like a
khaki
tapered...
cotton fabric. That's all it means. It's a type of fabric. It's a clothing made of chino.
Oh, usually it's a type of. Okay.
Anyway, my wife, I was talking about doing the podcast today with no prep. And she says, oh, you're going to raw dog it.
What does that mean?
Just stopped. And I said, baby, you need to look that up before you say that in public. Again, I said, it is mainstream now, but it's like only been mainstream for like a month.
Really?
Yeah. She said she read it and she said, yeah, originally used in certain circumstances as in being unprotected, but now comes into play anytime you do something without preparation. So
wow. I don't know that we could put that as a show title.
I don't think so either. If you can't say it from behind a pulpit, you probably can't say it in real life. That's kind
you know
of
what
been a thing that I judge by a junior high youth group pulpit.
Sorry, I keep coughing. Yeah, that's probably the most effective a pulpit that you would be able to use as a litmus for your word choices. Because some of the pastors these days, they'll actually drop like words that I probably wouldn't.
Oh, do they?
Some of them do, yeah.
Oh, not mine. I have a thing with swearing. I don't mind it when the unchurched do it. I hear it all the time at work. No big deal, right?
Right.
But to me, it's something I've never done, not since high school. Man, John, you're hurting.
I am so sorry. I drank some water and it went down the wrong way.
You're not allowed to drink. You have drinking problems.
I'm done now.
But no, I just consider it rude, especially when I hear it from Christians.
Yeah.
Because you ought to know better. you know? And I definitely think it falls into that category of food offered to idols kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, if your faith allows you to do it, fine. That's great. But you should watch yourself, is what I'm saying. Do so with fear and trembling. But some people just don't care anymore. I care. And I think most people care.
Can I wax religious for, I guess, for a second?
Absolutely.
So, and this is not my own observation, so don't give me credit for it. But the one time in the Bible when we see one of the disciples swearing or cursing was when he was trying to disassociate himself with Jesus, right?
Ooh, yeah. He cussed out a girl.
Right. It was Simon Peter, right? And so he's like, no, I'm not the guy. And I know that words are kind of cultural and, you know, they mean different things to different people. So that's another thing. But I think, as Paul said, we shouldn't let any, or no, I'm sorry. It was James, in the book of James. How can out of the same fount come salt water and fresh water? Yeah. You can't. So. Yeah. That's the way
it's like Laffy and Taffy. It's gotta be one or the other.
It's one or the other. It's you know, the package can't contain both.
But Laffy yet it claims to. It claims to.
I don't know. Or maybe it's an adjective and I don't understand it.
No,
but anyways, that's,
I don't mind swear words in movies. I'm very hypocritical, about it, I guess. But yeah. I just know.
Same.
I guess it's because I expect it from the unchurched. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know for me to swear, it would mean something. Like it would be very disrespectful of me to do it in front of you. And so therefore I get that kind of offended when Christians do it in front of me. Is that, I mean,
I gotcha. And they so can you're do saying whatever I should put my language back in my box.
I don't judge them. I don't care. I'm just saying the way I take it is probably the way I would take it. Like I said, if somebody heard it from me, they would probably get offended because they wouldn't expect it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know if I'm making sense. But no, pastors.
Some of these main, these big time church pastors and stuff like
Didn't they push it far enough when they started wearing those decorated button up shirts that had embroidery and streetwear screen printing eagles and crap all over their shirts?
Right.
You remember that phase?
Or when they're wearing shoes that are more, that cost more than my paycheck for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. They're wearing some skivvy vest or some sort of, crossover.
Man, they're just trying to be relevant with our culture these days, okay?
Lululemon pants for men. You know Lululemon makes stuff for men?
No.
Yeah, they do. They have a whole men's section. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know how much of that I'm ever going to buy? Zero.
Yeah?
None.
That's a lot of nothing.
Nil. Lululemon. I would buy lemons, but not Lululemons.
I lost interest. Actually, I never had any interest for him. So, but when I heard one of the kids around campus talking about how she couldn't find her Lulus, mm-hmm. I thought that's the dumbest name. I would never buy that for anybody.
Yeah.
For Lulus.
My wife.
No offense if you wear Lulus.
My wife wears it. She wears it, loves it, claims it's the finest materials and the build quality and it'll last her forever. And I have a problem with her, that I will vent right here. We were talking about it on date night, actually. Say for Christmas, I got her $100 gift card to Lululemon.
Okay. Oh man. And you're an enabler.
I am. I love my wife. I want her to be happy. When she's happy, we're all happy. You know, and she works hard. She brings in a majority of the money. She held our family together when I wasn't able to through my worst of my depression for like 10 years. She kept it together. And for 8 years before that, she raised kids, you know? So, she's worth it. And so I give her $100, but what does she do? And I'm just going to say it. And then you can make your own judgments. Okay. She takes that $100 and goes to the store. She buys a $250 item with it.
Oh.
And she comes home and says, thank you. Merry Christmas from you to me.
Wait, what?
She
used that card to buy you something.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, okay.
For herself.
Okay.
She used my card as a springboard.
Basically, you gave her a coupon.
Into another gift.
Yes.
And I'm like trying to tell her what that was like for me. I'm like, imagine if you bought me a nice watch. And I said, awesome. Or a gift card to a nice watch. And and it was a Fossil watch. I don't know what nice watches are now, but that was nice back when I was buying watches that weren't e-watches. But so instead, I go to the Rolex place and I take that money she gave me and I upgrade to a $10,000 watch, you know. And then I come home and say, Merry Christmas from you to me. Yay. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. Am I wrong in this? She was only supposed to spend $100.
Yeah,
she was like, thanks, that's great, but not good enough. I'm gonna triple it.
I wouldn't take sides on this particular matter.
I could have expected much.
I would say that you're both right.
Ah, boo. No, I don't mind that she did it. It's just like, tell me. That's how much you wanted to spend on a freaking jacket and let me set that money aside and we'll budget for it and whatnot, you know? And I'm with most of you listening. I'm like, $250 for a jacket? Holy crap. But like I said,
but it's a Lulu jacket, James.
I know. I owe her everything. Everything good in my life is because of her, my children, my home, the fact that I'm able to do what I do. And she stayed with me through the worst of my life. And she believed in me when nobody else did. And so if she wants a $250 jacket, she gets a $250 jacket. It ain't coming out of podcast money, though.
Yeah.
No. Anyway.
No, man.
I don't know. That is all she got for Christmas, though. Other than what the kids got her, you know.
Your kids buy your y'all gifts?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, that's so nice.
They're nothing big, you know, but like I got some gloves, I think, and some socks from my son. And my daughter got me a E.T., retro E.T. glass that came from Pizza Hut back in the day.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. And, yeah, just stuff like that, you know.
No, that doesn't happen. My kids have never bought, maybe John has because he's actually had a job, but my kids have never bought me anything for.
This is more of a recent happening. I mean, Jay's
16,
Jen is 20.
Okay.
It may have been last year was the first time I got gifts from them. So,
okay, well,
some my you have son's to look 20 forward to.
He hasn't, yeah, okay.
He just doesn't love you as much.
I'm thinking that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because your kids buy me gifts, but my kids don't.
Notoriously, though, fathers/husbands are hard to buy for.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Don't we just get what we need all the time?
Or is it because we just really don't care?
That too.
I mean, yeah. I love gifts. I love gifts. That's one of my love languages, apparently. Ah. But I just I don't really need anything. So, you know, I have everything I want. My kids, my family, my home, yeah. You know.
I usually ask for Steam gift cards, but I haven't been playing any video games lately, so I didn't do that this year. I have so many games that I've played like 5 minutes of. Like I bought the Hogwarts game thinking this is going to be the next big game.
Yep.
And I played the intro and I haven't touched it since. And it's just because my interest in games kind of dropped off there and I can't buy anymore.
And you still have a subscription to Steam, so you can't like not buy games, right?
No, you don't get a subscription to Steam.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, it's just where you buy games from. Maybe my understanding of
it's wrong. But the games go on sale, and that's what makes you feel like you need to get them.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it's actually somebody in our very own Discord that reminded me of something I said, and I heard it, and I was like, that makes a lot of sense, but I didn't know it was me that said it until they told me.
I love it.
Said, if you're not going to play it now, don't buy it now. Even if it's on sale.
Oh.
Because it'll go on sale again, and it'll be cheaper in a month or so, and then you might be ready to play it. But I had to take my own advice. I love to shop and buy games. I love especially to get good deals on them.
Yeah.
But I go and I cringe sometimes because there are games that I bought full price back, you know, a few years ago, and they're for $2 now or something. And I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't play them that much. I could have waited, you know? So now I wait on everything, even stuff.
That's sage advice.
Yeah. If you're not going to play it now, don't buy it now. Oh, there you go. There's your gospel of Kinnison for the day.
It's GOK.
The GOK, baby. Oh,
wow.
So how's your job going?
This has been the best week at work.
Really?
Can I just tell you? Yes.
I haven't heard you say that in like 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have.
But you've been through quite the ordeal in the last 5 years too. So.
Well, I kind of have. I mean, I like to work. I think that's the gist of it. I enjoy working. I like the fruit of your hands or something. There's probably something in Ecclesiastes that says something about.
You were
going to
say the fruit of my womb, and I'm like, wow.
No, I don't have one of those.
No.
But I like to work. But this week, so starting on Monday, of course, was a holiday. Here we observe the Martin Luther King Memorial Day.
I did too, but my job did not. So
your job did not. Okay.
Yeah. I had to work.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I put a post up.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. So we didn't have school on that day. And then guess what happened on Tuesday?
It snowed. I only know that because I got people down there.
Yeah, well, it's snowed in where I live. And actually where my sister lives down in Mississippi, they got like twice as much snow
as we did.
How much
did y'all get?
Like, don't laugh, okay? Don't shame me for this. We got like 2 inches. Maybe. Maybe it was two. It was enough to cover everything.
And shut down the world.
And shut down the entire area. Not just shut it down for a day either.
We're still dealing with 6 or 7 inches of snow from like 3 weekends ago. It's so stupid how much ice is on our roads. It's so stupid.
Well, that's the thing about our area. You know, you were out this way for a part of your life.
Yeah.
When we get the snow, in our case,
it's rare.
It just turns into ice afterwards because it melts a little bit. And so we just had icy streets. And we will actually go back to school tomorrow.
Mm. So you have had a great week.
I haven't had nothing to do this week. I came into to work today because I was getting a little stir crazy. So I was like, I've got some projects I can take care of, you know, get ahead of the curve or whatever.
I thought you would have had a little bit more than 2 inches because down in South Georgia, where my wife's family's at, they had 2 inches.
Yeah.
And they said they didn't have enough to make a snowman, so she made a snow turtle on the front porch and she sent us a picture of it. Had a little beans
awesome.
For eyes, had a little knit cap on. It was cute.
That's rad.
So I thought you would have had like 3 or 4.
Yeah. What like I said, my sister in Mississippi, like near the coast, like they had snow on Panama City Beach, like on the actual beach.
It was
you couldn't tell what was snow and what was sand, but not too far from there, where my sister lives, I don't even really know exactly the location, but she had 7 inches of snow.
Wow! Yeah, like that's real
down.
Snow,
and that's like yeah.
Well, the thing you guys got to understand, if you're not from the South, is when you're in the South, snow can sometimes be a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe twice. I think it snowed down there. This will be the fourth time since I was a kid that snow reached the South. Cause I know it happened when I was 16. I know it happened.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I remember that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was St. Mary's.
It shut
dude.
Down St. Mary's, dude.
We were shut down.
They're shut and down was, now. And they,
are they,
yeah, Jen was looking it up and they were talking about they are brining the streets. Have you heard of this?
Brining the streets.
I said, I didn't know what it was, but I said immediately, I bet they're pumping salt water on the streets. And sure enough, that's what
makes
it was.
Sense.
They don't have salt. You know, we have salt just sitting in these domes that are for that purpose.
You have trucks.
Nobody in the South has that infrastructure.
No.
So they're pumping salt water out and dumping it back out on the streets. It's hilarious.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder how they load it up. They just go
just
down to the dock
truck.
And
you know,
pump it up. You get the septic tank trucks and they just fill them up and dump it out.
Instead of spray fields, they're spraying Yeah, do people know about that? Spray fields?
I don't know.
Do you know about spray fields?
Where they kind of aerate the
aerate the
poop water?
Yeah, at the end of most sewage systems in the South, they take it and treat it, and then they spray it through like a sprayer, you know, out onto a field. And the field is wet all the time. You wouldn't want to walk through there. But that's where the creatures and the bacteria is and all the things that like our feces, treated or untreated, collect. And it's also where tomato seeds grow. So,
yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, they make it all the way through.
They do. They get it undigested.
Matter of fact, that reminds me of a story. This guy, this scientist, there's this island that was volcanic. And it came up from nothing. And scientists have been studying it forever to see what happens. You know, does dirt form? How do the plants get there? You know, are animals going to show up? You know, are birds going to bring fish eggs over? I don't know. You know, will lakes and streams form? And a plant shot up out of nowhere. And they're like freaking out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And it was the daggum tomato plant because one of the scientists pooped in this crack of the lava and it grew.
They
contaminated it.
Our project is for naught. Now we got to go find another island that's formed out of the ocean.
Out of nowhere. All right. So was it last week that I mentioned the gloving concept?
Ah, yeah.
Okay, so I was saying it wrong the whole time. I went back and looked at my notes. It's ungloving, which is even worse.
That's not better.
It's when you pinch your fingers in a roller, set of rollers, and it strips the skin off your hand. It's terrible, terrible. But a guy I'm friends with, one of our listeners, M. Jones, he says, I've been a printer for 25 years now, and I first started working for the local newspaper. Now I print wine labels. I do have a silkscreen unit on my press. When I worked for the newspaper, though, one of my coworkers was trying to clean a roller with some solvent and a rag, and the rag got sucked in along with his hand, and he was ungloved.
No!
Yes, yes. Yeah, he was degloved. Right. Degloved. I'm saying it's still wrong. But he was in the hospital for a week, but after a couple months, he came back to work.
What about his hand?
I guess they slid it back in and sealed it up. Just put a little duct tape on that wrist.
Thank God for modern science, but
I think I could have done that at home, though. You know, just slide it right back in there. Just get it. It'd probably feel a lot better once it was, you know, it's a lot of butterfly band-aids, but.
What do they do around the fingernails and stuff? Do you just have a weird looking?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. I just imagine the whole thing comes off. And it's just bones and muscle. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. I think everything comes off like a glove and
that's the term.
Yeah. So I've put on gloves before though, and gotten two fingers stuck in one. So when they're putting it back on, Does it?
So you got a floppy extra appendage.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that what happens? I don't know. I don't know either.
That's madness.
So thanks, Mike, sending that in.
Oh, sorry. Donnie in the chat room here. Hey, shout out to our chat room folks.
How many Donnie's in there?
And Donnie's been having a whole conversation with us that we haven't seen.
It's a mix.
And just for our live listeners, we'll say that this is a grab bag episode, and that's why you haven't heard a whole lot of stories from y'all yet.
Yeah.
Because we're just doing this.
We're just chatting because James... Here, let me just go into some behind-the-scenes detail here. James has a full-time job, okay? Yep. James has limited energy, and the full-time job is taking all my energy, and it's barely all I can do to meet my family's obligations and do this job. And I don't know how I did it before. I mean, y'all remember, I used to work full-time as a kids pastor, you know? And I'd come home, do podcasts. I did 3 podcasts a week sometimes, stupid stuff like that. But nowadays I can't. I'm tired all the time. I'm old. And so this episode is happening because I decided, and John helped me decide, you know, it's okay to just do one without all the prep. So
yeah. And if you don't like it, it'll go down in the archives as one of the shows that nobody liked.
Nobody wants to listen to, like the JoJo episode.
I disagree with that. I don't know what your numbers show. I enjoyed that episode.
Well, most people
I knew
didn't.
That was coming, though.
Whenever there's one that people comment on, like what's their least favorite one, they're like the first JoJo one.
The first JoJo. Yeah. So. Man, that was...
I worked so hard on that one, too.
Yeah, I mean, you had to have a conversation with yourself.
And then edit it.
Yeah. That was probably like twice the editing time.
Well, back then, I got told by a friend that introduced me to podcasting that you can't miss a single week. And that's why I was doing MIA episodes. When David couldn't make it, I was still doing episodes all by myself because you couldn't miss a week, you know?
That's right. And you've got all those episodes where you had a guest host.
Yes.
And I mean, we met some, you know, as a listener myself, we met some really cool people that way. It was really neat.
Yeah. Yeah. We were supposed to have a guest host tonight. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Why? Yeah. I forgot to tell you.
Oh.
But whoops. I'm going to reschedule her. She was not available at the last minute. So.
Oh.
Her name's Nikki. And I met her at a podcasting meetup. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
I do have stories though. This is from Emmy Holloway.
Emmy Holloway.
Yeah. She says, so I work at a financial institution, and just like any job serving the public, you have your favorite customers.
Yes.
Yeah. I get that. Some are your favorites because they're leaving, and some are your favorites because they're coming in.
That's hilarious.
We have several hilarious characters that come in, but today I'm going to tell you about one in particular, and it's his arrival that makes him a favorite. We call him Whiplash Terry.
You got a nickname for him.
Our building is an old town square that only drives one direction around it. Okay, so you've seen those small towns.
Yeah, one way, yeah. All the way around.
The way... My desk is positioned. I can see out the large front door and surrounding windows, so I can usually see the customers as they round the square and pull into the parking lots out front. Well, at the beginning of every month, you can count on like clockwork. Here comes an old beat-up blue S10 pickup truck.
Oh, nice.
It whips around the square at a cool 20 miles an hour, which isn't so bad if you use your brakes. Whiplash Terry is a much older man. He's hard of hearing. He looks like he was old military-issued glasses from the 1970s.
Ooh.
Silver comb-over. Classic old man. So.
Classic old man.
Here comes the old pickup, and instead of making the last turn to go to the light, it makes its way rather rapidly toward a parking spot in front of the building. Into the parking spot, it sails, allowing the cement parking bumper to stop the truck. Whiplash Terry flails about like a crash dummy back and forth as the truck comes to a halt. Never fails. Like he does this apparently every time.
He's just,
he shouldn't be driving.
I didn't know there was a parking bumper there.
I think Bobblehead Terry would be good too, but Whiplash Terry.
I like them both.
Sometimes I suppose if he feels his parking isn't straight, he'll throw it in reverse and with a pedal to the floor, backs it into the road without even looking for cars coming and throws it back in drive with full gusto, parks it again into another spot, once again allowing the cement parking bumper to do his braking for him. Again, he flops back and forth like a crash test dummy. We are all aghast at the first few times we see this for ourselves. Now we just warn the new hires not to be alarmed. Oh, yeah, that's just Whiplash Terry.
It's just Whiplash Terry.
He gets out of his truck and comes in to do his financial business like nothing out of the ordinary happened. We all greet him by name, but must remember to take the whiplash off first.
Yes, Mr. Whip. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry. How you doing, sir? Thank you. Thank you so much for that awesome story.
There's no chance that he's going to hear this episode and then going back into that bank. You know, I was listening to my podcast the other day.
There's no way.
Story.
No way. He's too old.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's probably, I was thinking, you know, maybe probably didn't.
No. Yeah. No, he doesn't know what a podcast is.
He don't know.
He don't even know what brakes are. So, or looking both ways before you back up.
He was born in that truck. And he'd just be part of him. And he just
1970s. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's glasses and everything. Me and my wife talk about this. Like, when do you start getting old? You know?
Yeah. Or when do you start admitting that you are old? I guess is the real question.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Okay, but really, it's more when do other people start seeing you the way we see old people?
Oh,
because I don't feel like I'm there yet. Do you?
Well, a little bit, maybe. Okay, sometimes. Well,
I don't at all. Even with
like
gray
the way hair, I feel I and think, I'm like, oh, I still think I'm in my 20s
right.
or 30s.
No,
maybe.
I don't. I'm not there. I know where I am because I have a bad knee. Yeah, I mean, I have aches if I lay with my neck the same way all night, you know? So I'm pretty grounded in those things, but I don't feel like I'm old. Like, old.
Old,
you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, geez. Yeah, well, I know all the middle schoolers listening to us say, well, this guy's in their 50s or old.
Yeah, and there was a time I would have agreed with that, but now I look at 70-year-olds and they're old and they have thinner skin, they have more wrinkles, they don't know how to use cell phones and sometimes don't even own anything but a flip phone or something. They don't communicate through email or texts. And I'm just wondering, what is it going to take for Gen Xers to find themselves in that role? And my wife and I have actually talked about it quite a bit. And I think why we won't experience it the same way that baby boomers have is because you look at a baby boomer's life has changed so drastically for them since they were born that they are no longer relevant. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't the right choice of words, but
relevant. Yeah. That I know what you mean though. It's not necessarily relevancy. It's generationally that's,
like they've got nothing to offer.
Except wisdom. And,
right. And no doubt. I'm just saying things have changed so much that there is nothing they're used to anymore. Everything's changed. Prices have changed. Gas has changed.
Right.
How you open a gas tank has changed.
Methods of travel.
There's electricity and air. I mean, technologies and everything.
Yeah.
Whereas Gen Xers were able to kind of float with that. And I think we'll be able to keep up with it. When we're old, we'll be like, oh, yeah, that's just this modernized. I mean, we've outlived DVDs and VHS and all that. But the people that have it worse than us are the boomers, because when they first started, bicycles were still kind of catching on, you know? And now...
I remember in my day, the bicycle was invented.
So...
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Yeah, they had a big wheel in the front and a little wheel in the back, right?
That's right.
I don't know. I think they've had it hard because in their day, old people would come and go, and their old people were wise and they were looked up to and they were a source of inspiration. Whereas I think today's old folks get it hard because nobody, culturally, we don't care. I think the youngins with their TikToks and their quick videos and their clout grabbing have taken the spotlight. And so I don't mean any disrespect against boomers, except for some of y'all that have no filter between your brain and your mouth that still call black people names you're not supposed to call black people. Those of you that still do that kind of stuff, still call girls honey and babe, and stuff like that. Yeah, you guys need to change up, but most of them are great. Most of them are great. Wow. But I'm thinking of one in particular. I'm sorry. And I can't say it.
My fear is that as I get older, I'm going to forget all the things that have shaped me to be who I am now. And I'm going to revert to some cranky old man.
Does that happen though? That's the thing. Is there a switch that flips?
Yeah.
And suddenly you're just old and crotchety.
I don't know. Well, I'm kind of looking at my parents as the, as the litmus for that. And like my dad he talks about politics a lot more than I remember.
Yeah. Jen's dad's the same way.
My mom too. My mom talks about politics. I was like, why is that something that we revert to in our,
I think it is something,
senior years? I don't know.
Maybe that's all they watch. I will tell you this much, since Christmas, I don't know why, but my favorite flavor is peppermint. And I'm worried about myself, John.
Since Christmas?
Yeah.
It's peppermint.
I got a hold of peppermint bark, and now I have peppermint syrup, and I'm pumping it in to my drinks and stuff. I love peppermint candies. I'm 3 weeks away from handing out Werther's Originals to children.
Well, Werther's aren't peppermint.
I know, but it's old people candy, right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grandma always had butterscotch and peppermint.
I'm halfway there.
Oh man.
I don't know what it is, but I make my own hot chocolate. I pour half of a mug of skim milk or 1% milk. I heat it up for a minute in the microwave. I put two Splendas in there. I put a little bit of cocoa powder, and then I put three big squirts of peppermint juice in there, sugar-free.
And that actually sounds kind of good.
I have peppermint cocoa every night, and it is warming and soothing and wonderful. And I even found, I have to do these Premier Proteins. It's supposed to be a shake. It's bull crap, but it's got protein and all this stuff. I have to do it as part of my
protein drink
post-surgery deal. But they have mint chocolate. And I didn't know that. Peppermint and mint is the same. Uh-huh. And it is very good. So I have to drink all these chocolate ones. But I didn't have a chocolate one yesterday. So I went downstairs to the secretary's office and I looked around because I'm like, there's something got to be left from the Christmas party. And I found some peppermints and I crushed them between my teeth and I spit them into the stupid hole in the protein shake and waited for about 10 minutes and I shook it up. Oh, it's so good.
And it did the trick.
It did the trick.
Oh, man. So, since Christmas. He's a peppermint man.
I'm a peppermint man. So I may, instead of buying this juice, because the juice ain't cheap, dude.
It's, you're talking about like the syrups?
Yeah. It has a pump. I got it off Amazon. I don't know what it was, but it was like $16 maybe.
Okay.
Stupid amount of money for what it
like
is.
Those Torinos or whatever.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like they use for coffee.
Right, yeah. Right. I think what I'm going to do is go to the store and buy a big bag of Starlight Mints, and I'm just going to crush them up and put them in the hot chocolate. And so there'll be a little bit of sugar in there.
Yeah.
But a heck of a lot cheaper and a lot more potent.
I bet you could get them sugar-free, too.
Bet you I could.
Bet you can, James.
We are old, John.
We are. Listen, have we got to the part about, have we gotten to weekly updates yet?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you a story about my week last week.
All right.
On Friday, I had to have my car worked on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something that you do when your car gets to a certain age, right? And
You're a liar! You're a liar! I already know what you're talking about!
No, it's my car.
I forgot, but now I remember. John had a colonoscopy. I'm ruining it. This is all legit laughter, by the way. Okay. It is. John was going to be slick. He was going to be slick.
He's so slick. You're gonna be like, man, that's crazy procedure they had in the car.
Well, the first thing that got me is he doesn't drive a car. He drives a truck.
And doggone
so
it.
I started thinking outside the box. And I'm like, he's about to start talking about his tailpipe because he was being awkward. He was like, you know, it's just something you do. You fix your car, you know? And I'm like, he's talking about his butt. Oh, yeah. So when I left you last, after the podcast, you were going to begin your regimen of drinking the crap juice that they give you.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. Let me interview you because the interview style will go better. Okay. John, you mixed up your concoction.
Yes.
And your first swallow, what went through your mind? Because the prep is the worst part of the whole thing.
I'm gonna say that with 100% accuracy, the prep is the worst. And I'm gonna be very honest about this as well. It's not even the prep, it's the stuff that they give you, which is called the prep, I guess.
Yeah.
But that stuff is the worst.
It's so nasty.
I would,
and you have to drink so much of it.
Yeah. So I had to, mine was a two-parter, right?
Right.
So,
like epoxy.
It's like epoxy. Yeah. And just for all of our listeners out there who don't know, they recommend that you get your colonoscopy starting at age 45 now.
Yeah.
And
if you're at risk at 40.
Yeah. If you're at risk, right. If you've got it in your family. So that's that. But anyways, what they do is they give you this, like my doctor, I didn't even meet with the doctor beforehand. Like the first time I ever saw the guy was in the room.
Yeah.
And he just peeked around and said, hey, I'm going to, you know, take care of you today.
Yeah.
But anyways, the prep, that stuff, so I'm a little bit of a purist. I'm like, okay, if I can handle it, I'm going to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I've heard that you can mix stuff in with it and all that, you know, to make it taste better. And you even recommended something. Did you say like put some like Crystal Light or something?
Yeah. Those flavor packs, dude.
Flavor pack. So, yeah. So we recorded last week on Thursday night. I had to go straight home because I was supposed to start that process, you know, the same time we were recording. I figured it'd be fine, you know, no biggie, whatever. And it was, but that first sip was like, you know what, that I think I might be able to handle this because it's 16 ounces and you mix it with another 16 or 8 ounces and it becomes six. I can't remember. Wound up like the first whole prep thing is basically you're drinking almost a full liter.
Yeah.
With extra water.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I could make it. I mean, I obviously did make it, but that taste is just, it sits in your mouth.
Yeah, I don't know what pee tastes like, but I think it tastes like this prep stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what pee tastes like.
I don't know. I think, I can't.
It's almost salty, but not quite. It's
mine tasted real medicine-y.
Oh, really?
Like, is I can't even describe it. Like, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. I got an ear infection, and I had to have this medicine that they said it tastes like bubble gum,
oh, but never does.
It looked like bubble gum, and it tasted like it was really bad. And it had that kind of flavor, except not the bubble gum part, but it was just so bad. And I choked that junk down because you're not supposed to. I would have chugged it if I could have.
Right.
But you're supposed to like finish it off in like a matter of 10 minutes. So I drank that stuff up and then.
You didn't put any flavoring in it?
No, I didn't. It didn't. Because by the time I was like halfway through, I was like, you know, what's the difference now? All I'm going to be able to do is taste that nasty stuff. So I downed all that. And then, you know, the process afterwards is it helps flush the system.
Yes.
And I won't be gross, but yeah. You know, your rear end is the only part of your body that can pass all three states of matter.
Yeah.
Solid, liquid, and gas. And it becomes liquid. And I didn't even know it was possible to do that. I mean, I've had like, you know, diarrhea before, but this was like,
we are
old. Like a shower head back then.
We're old. Yeah. You know, it's bad
so much poop.
When it's spraying the underside of the seat.
No, mine wasn't even like that. It was like a hose. Like somebody had opened up a hose.
Mine was more like a ceiling sprinkler. You know, like an emergency sprinkler. So I don't know what was going on, but yeah.
Oh, there was so much. And I was like, how is this even possible?
Yeah.
Like I didn't eat anything that whole day and like so much. And it was.
And it's all day. It's like all day.
Yeah. So I did that regimen at night and then I woke up the next morning. And then I had to start that whole process all over again because my procedure didn't happen until 2:30 in the afternoon.
Mm.
And it's like, there's nothing. And of course, I'm all nervous and stuff going in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what's this going to be like? Dude, the worst part is the drinking.
Yeah, because they put you out.
I know that was the best. Isn't nap, it? Man.
I told you
it was so good. Like I was talking with the dude that the anesthesiologist, he's like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. We were talking about crypto and stuff like that. I was like, well, I just keep all my stuff over in a mattress. And then he's like, oh yeah, yeah. And then he does some things. I'm talking to the nurse that's there. And then he comes back and says, you know, an old coffee can works great too. And I was like, my brain had already gone into a different conversation. Like, wait, why are we talking about coffee cans? He's like, to keep your money in. He's like, oh yeah, yeah. I guess I should diversify my investments. and then he puts the, I don't know what the magical stuff is. He says, all right, you're gonna probably get a little drowsy now. And like that stuff works so quick.
You just wake up.
No, I was like, oh wow, I'm starting to feel a little ting. I don't know what I said.
Right.
But as I was going out, I knew I was talking. And then the next thing I know, the nurse is waking me up.
Yep, that's
Wait
it.
Wait a second.
I lost time. Like, I know time has passed, but it was instant. Yeah.
It's so quick. And it was such a nice sleep, man.
It was.
Oh. I was like, I slept so good.
So great.
I was like, can I do this again?
Yeah, without the butt fiddling part. Yeah.
Without having to drink all that.
Because that's not what I was specifically asking for. Yeah. The only thing about prep that I'll say that you didn't mention, but it happened for me, is like, have you ever like had a runny nose and you blow your nose and blow your nose and blow your nose and it gets so red and irritated, you're like, gosh, I should have had Puffs Plus with aloe.
Puffs Plus with aloe.
Yeah. You get to the point where you wipe and you wipe and you wipe and you wipe. And sometimes you have to wipe around, like swirling.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anymore.
And it just gets so raw and minded anyway. And then
I just got, yeah.
Did you get any pictures? Because I got pictures.
James, you told me about your pictures and
yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's, I don't, I felt safe in the thought that, you know, they would be like coming through a digital format and, through some app.
You know,
app
that
or
they'd
whatnot.
Be tasteful. Tasteful.
Yeah.
Tastefully done.
Tasteful. Tastefully. Except, you know what? They didn't give me my pictures through an app. They were printed out mm-hmm. on a piece of paper mm-hmm. and it was laying right next to me after everything was all done. What's this? Oh, my.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. The inside body ones I was fine with, but the one that they took right before they went in, not so much.
I didn't get that one.
Oh.
I didn't get that one.
God.
No.
That, I had a dream about it the other night. I went through the whole thing again. So embarrassed. So embarrassed. I'd never seen it before, and
now you don't want to.
I'm like, I can't get it out of my mind.
Donnie said they posted them on Facebook for you. No, they
another successful colonoscopy. Yeah. Maybe you'll recognize it. It's James.
If you recognize this, then you've been too close.
You're his hot doctor.
Oh man, no. Ugh. It was quite an experience, and I'm glad it's over. Barry White. Anthony.
Did you have did they take out any polyps or anything? Did they, you know, how
they
how
did.
Was, yeah.
Yeah. They removed one. And apparently there's some grapes back there too. So.
Oh, great.
That's all. I've got pictures of them to prove it, but I don't know where they're at.
Oh gosh. Oh, we are old. We are old. What have we, what have we been talking about? Peppermints.
We were wondering. Yep.
And, and colonoscopies.
Oh yeah. We're the old show.
Yeah. this is a story from Emma in Utah. Hey guys, what's up? I've sent in some stories before. And the last one I sent was the one about how my mom makes excuses about bad drivers. Oh, I remember that one. Just to remind you guys, her mom is in the car. They get passed or cut off or something like that by a person. And they say, oh, I bet, they have to get to the hospital because their wife's having a baby, you know, and all this. And I always say that it's something bathroom related. Like
they gotta make it to a toilet quick.
Anyway, but now I'm proud to say that I am driving and I use my own techniques now. But anyway, the story I wanted to send in was about a time where I nearly got a concussion at a color guard practice. I've been doing color guard, which is spinning flags and stuff, for years, but this happened to me in eighth grade. I was practicing with my rifle. I tossed it above my head. Wow. I didn't toss it right, which made it smack against my forehead. Now a rifle in guard is just as a big hard piece of wood in the shape of a gun. So you can imagine how much it must have hurt.
Yeah.
But after this happened, I felt a ton of pain, of course, but I was pretty okay until everyone started swarming me and checking to see if I had a concussion. But they were also pointing at my head and asking if I was okay. At that point, my coach came over and started laughing at me softly.
Softly.
Killing me softly. Anyway.
With her laugh.
And when she asked if she could take my picture of my forehead, it was because my rifle hit my head so hard, it now had formed a huge goose egg on top of my forehead. Ooh. Those are pretty funny to see. You ever seen one?
Yeah, I've seen a goose egg.
And it looked as if I had a rectangular nose growing out of it.
Oh,
so,
man.
Because the edge must have hit weird.
Ouch.
I did not get a concussion, but I did get an excuse to step out from practice. Thanks for reading my story. Bye. Yeah. So there you go. You made it on the show.
I'm glad that Emma didn't have any lasting damage.
Yeah. I'm assuming not. Sometimes we don't get the whole story.
She had the coherence to send this story in.
That's
so
true. If she's still typing and talking,
yeah,
she's doing okay. The brain is still in place.
And that was, of course, she said it was when she was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Which would have been a couple years ago because she's driving now.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So they let her have her license. So there's two checks.
Nice. So, John, when you were a little boy and somebody asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? What did you tell them?
Okay. I'm going to go back to the first thing that I wanted to be.
Okay.
All right. Because somebody did ask me that question. And I wanted to be a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And I told, this was my friend's sister. She is asking me that. And I told her, I was like, I want to be a policeman. And she said, oh, you know that when you go in to be a policeman, they have to look at your butt. They take you into a doctor's office and they have to look at your butt. She told me that. These right. are her words. It's like I'm reliving this moment right now. And I was like, oh, I don't think I want to be a policeman anymore. There's no way that I'm going to go into a doctor's office and let somebody look at my butt.
No way. Not until I'm at least, you know, in my 50s. So, yeah.
So I changed my mind from wanting to be a policeman. Yeah.
Kids are horrible.
Kids are the worst.
Older kids. You just believe anything an older kid says.
I feel like she had set that question up in her mind. Oh, like,
definitely. Yeah. Whatever you were going to say, you could have said a street sweeper. And she'd be like, well, you know.
You know, they have to look at your butt. Like, no, I don't want to be a street sweeper anymore. What about you, James?
Well, it's funny you said police officer. I was a little dumber, I guess, than you. Because you remember those Richard Scolari books? Where there was animals in cities and they had jobs and stuff. Richard Scolari. Look it up real quick. They're scary.
Richard.
Yeah. There were just these.
Scolari.
I don't know. I'm not even saying it right. But they were just these animals. And they would ride bikes and they had jobs and they would go to school. Richard Scolari or Scary or something.
Richard.
Oh, let me look.
I'm going to spell it like S-K-U-L-L. Scolari animals. Oh, wait. Author. Okay.
Scary. Richard Scary. It was Richard Scary. Okay.
Scary?
Yeah. Richard Scary, American author and illustrator. And he did books. Busy, busy town people, busy, busy cars and trucks, busy, busy world.
I remember some of these books. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I had seen a teddy bear. He was a police officer and he had a motorcycle in one of those books. And somebody asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I told him I wanted to be a teddy bear cop. And they reacted much in the same way you did. They laughed very hard. And my dream died that day.
Oh,
because I apparently could never be a teddy bear or a cop. Yeah. So be careful, kids or people, when you're crushing the dreams of children.
Yeah.
Because I eventually would have come to terms with the fact that I could never be a teddy bear. But I still could have
been a cop.
Been a cop with a motorcycle. That was the real crux of the thing, as I wanted the uniform and I wanted the motorcycle, and the teddy bear part was just optional. I always liked the worm that drove the apple car the most.
The worm.
Yeah.
Richard Scarry, dude wrote children's books. He could have been the first, he could have been R.L. Stein with a name like Scary. Richard Scarry.
Yeah. He should have changed that.
Yeah.
I don't want to read the story, Mom. It's a scary story, literally.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would drive around in peanuts and pickles and apples and crayons and motorcycles and, you know, just all these people. And that's what I wanted to be when I was really young. When I got older, I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be a minister.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like 8 years old when I decided that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't decide to do that until I was in high school. Yeah, I was my senior year.
So if I had asked you at 8 years old, what would you have said?
At eight?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good... Because like I probably would... I might have been 8 years old when I wanted to be a cop.
Okay.
Yeah, that might have been the age I was, because I'm trying to think, you know, there's my friend Chucky. Every time I mentioned that I had a friend named Chucky growing up, the kids around me would laugh because I think they saw that scary TV show or that movie.
Yeah.
Child's Play with Chucky. But anyway, I had a friend named Chucky. And so it was his sister that asked me that question. I was probably around 8 or 9 at that time. So yeah. And I did abandon the cop idea after that, or the desire to be one. And I don't know that I really picked up on anything. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll be a free agent for a while on my career choices. I did for a little while, probably in middle school. I thought, man, I would love to be an actor or a musician.
I definitely wanted to be a musician for a while, but when I was 8, I wanted to be a pastor. But older than that, yeah, I was like artist, musician, actor, singer. It's going to be famous. That was my whole goal. And then,
yeah, I think that was, I wanted to be famous. I think that's what it was.
Now there's people still have that goal. Kids all want to be a YouTube star, you know?
Yeah. Fame comes in different ways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Either be popular as on YouTube or TikTok or maybe maybe make it to the big time and be on the big screen, which isn't so big anymore.
No,
I want to be a live stream expert, you know.
Yeah, and put that on a resume, see how much it helps you. That and 10 cents will buy you a coffee. No.
Not anymore. That and $5.38. Call me.
Okay. So one time I responded to an ad in the paper. They were looking for actors.
Really?
Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try my hand at acting. So yeah. I went to this agency in Jacksonville and walked into this dark office. Immediately was getting vibes, like seedy
red flags were going greasy up
vibes. And there's this old man with a cigar behind the desk, and he had a guy standing next to him, just like the mob does, you know.
No
there's
way,
just a guy standing next to him, you know. And they had me sit down, and he asks me some questions, and you know, says, You got a good look, maybe for westerns. He says, show me how you get on a horse. And so I did. I pretended to get on a horse. No, son, don't you know you always get on with the left leg first or something? I don't remember what he said, but just remember that. And I was like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. And he says, so what we're going to need to do is you're going to need headshots. We're going to need $600 for these headshots. And so I had no money. That's why
this
I was there.
In high school?
No, this was after high school. I was probably 19. Had no money. Not even money probably to get home, but
$600 for headshots. Dude, that was like a lot back in the 90s.
So as we were wrapping things up, he said, would you be into doing videos with no clothes on? And I said, nope. My eyes got big. I was like, no. And he goes, there would be no touching. I was like, no. So, okay. And that's where the creepiness was coming from.
Yep.
He wasn't plugging people in for acting gigs. He was getting a whole desperate people who needed money, trying to turn them into the industry.
Wow.
Yeah. So crooked. I answered in that. You did?
Yeah, for acting once, yeah.
How did yours go? Because mine was bad.
Mine was nothing like that.
Okay.
So there was a...
I did say yes later, though. You didn't let me finish.
Oh,
I came back and I'm like, I need money to get home. So yes, as long as there's no touching.
Like, how much did you make?
So if you thank God there's no YouTube or anything, but You know, if you find if you come across an old VHS tape at a garage sale, and
was it Western?
It was.
I'm not sure if you're serious.
Whiplash James was the name I performed under.
Whiplash James. Holy
and
just cow.
Me and a pair of chaps and there's somebody that's taking this seriously. I did not go back.
You didn't.
I was James so rattled and so scared. And anyway, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Well, I think I might have talked about this already because this wasn't that long ago. It was actually right after the COVID. I got into extras.
Yeah,
casting.
It's been recently.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. But now I can talk about it because everything is aired. So I was an extra on a TV show that was on HBO Max called. I think it was called The DMZ or just DMZ.
Mm.
And it has Ahsoka. I didn't even know it at the time.
Oh.
Do you know who, what's her name?
Plays live action Ahsoka Tano?
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
I can't. Oh, man.
Very pretty black woman. Yeah.
Yes. And she's super nice, too. But she was the main actress in it. And I will think about it. It'll come to me like as we're wrapping up and I'll be like, oh, no, it was this person. Yes, Rosario Dawson. Thank you, Donnie Trapnell. Rosario Dawson. Anyways, she was in it. And I played. So basically the premise of it is like there's these factions. It's post-apocalyptic kind of stuff. And the cities, everybody's fighting over water. And she comes in and she brings water. Basically, the little scene I was in, they were trying to elect a leader for the city, this demilitarized zone.
Oh.
And I was just one of the faction peoples. I was in a faction called the Samaritans.
Mm.
They were supposed to be like good Samaritans. So I had this red beret and this green outfit. And anyways, a really cool process and fun stuff. I didn't make a lot on it and obviously have no credits to put on IMDb or anything like that. But
right.
But there are, my brother did send me a couple quick shots of my profile.
In there? That's so cool.
Yeah. So he saw it because I told him about it and he watched it. And he's like, oh yeah, man, I got a couple pictures of you. So
I'll have to watch it now. I have HBO Max, so I'll check it out. They just call it Max now. Did you know DMZ is in the DC universe? Did you know you were in the DC?
No, I did know it was, yeah. I knew it was comic book related, but I didn't know a whole lot about it. So is it in the MCU?
No, DC.
DC, okay.
Yeah,
it was interesting. And I can't, for our listeners, I can't vouch for anything about it because I haven't seen any. Thing, and you probably wouldn't be able to find me in it anyways.
But if you look in the background, you'll see John in a red beret flipping the bird.
Maybe.
That's the Samaritan salute. That's the one thing that he didn't tell you is the Samaritans all use the bird as their greeting.
That's the true thing. Yeah. And of course, it's not. I had this whole mindset because, you know, I found out that I was accepted into this extras thing, you know, a couple of days, and I was thinking, oh man, you know, your brain goes crazy. You're like, I'm gonna have a great part, and it's gonna be I'm gonna become a featured extra, and then they're gonna have the camera right on me and all that fun stuff. It wasn't anything like that. There were a couple times when the lead actress Rosario walked by, and I may have been in a shot, but I don't even know if they used it.
Right. So. Was it cool seeing a famous person that close?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really cool. And like she even talked to us and stuff. And
like as a group?
Well, like, so there's one scene, she's like standing on top of this van and in between takes, she's just talking to us. So yeah, she was talking to anybody who would listen.
What kind of stuff did she say? Was she a political leftist or, I mean, did she shout propaganda?
She was just a nice lady? Just talking about, just a nice lady.
Felt obligated to talk to you or is it just naturally?
No, she was just like talking to people.
How many people?
I'm
trying to set the scene here. So
Okay, so the scene is this. We're all kind of like standing outside of the like the city hall kind of place. Actually, they filmed it right there in downtown Atlanta, right outside the Capitol.
Okay.
And we're kind of standing around the steps there. And of course, it's post-apocalyptic and it's at night. And they're having like some kind of election kind of thing. And one of the main characters, his name is Jimmy. Oh, gosh. Jimmy Smits?
Neutron.
No. He was in.
Brain Blast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyways. Do you ever see that movie Miss Congeniality with Sandra Bullock? And
yeah, but don't ask me to tell you anybody else that's in there. Other
I don't
than
know what
Shatner.
His name is. Shatner was in it.
Yeah.
Anyways, he was in that. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in Doctor Strange for a little bit. He was a guy that was healed, kind of whatever. Anyways, he's in it and he kind of talked to us anyway. So he's one of the guys up there debating with this other guy who's probably really famous, but I didn't know who he was. And then she kind of bursts in. So she's standing on top of this van and has all this water and blah, blah, blah. So in the scene, there's all these factions, right? So I think there's probably like 50, 60 of us.
Oh, wow.
Just kind of standing out there and just cheering for our candidate kind of thing. So.
And she's just talking to y'all.
Yeah. Yeah, she just talks. So there's a couple scenes where I was like right next to that van and she just was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Hey, how y'all doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know who she was at the time. It wasn't until we finished rapping that one of the guys was like, oh, yeah, she was Ahsoka. And I was like, dang it. If I had known that.
Now I suddenly love her.
I do.
Yeah. I haven't seen Ahsoka.
You haven't? I heard it's really good.
You know why? Because I started it and immediately I knew I have got to see all of Clone Wars cartoon.
Oh,
and I have to watch Rebels because there's this whole thing. And I'm so glad I'm watching the cartoon because it is so good, first of all.
Oh, yeah. I've heard a lot of
it is so good. The more you watch, the better it gets. And there's so much lore. And it's the last of the Lucas Star Wars.
Yeah.
No agendas, no stuff to surprise you or haunt you or whatever, or to try to train you. It's just pure Star Wars. And it helps explain a lot about the prequels and some missing pieces. It makes you appreciate Anakin and Ahsoka, of course, and R2-D2 and Padme and all of them. And the whole thing about him being the chosen one or not being the chosen one, there's just a lot in there.
Mm.
It's really good.
I have James, my son, he's watched like the Bad Batch, and I think he's watched a lot of the Clone Wars stuff.
Yeah, I gotta wait on the Bad Batch till I'm done with.
Yeah, he's enjoyed it. But since we're on the topic, James and I just finished Skeleton Crew.
Yeah.
Which is excellent.
I got to finish that. I got kind of bent out of shape about it and stopped watching it for a little while.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, it doesn't matter.
We enjoyed it.
Good.
It was like watching the Goonies and
Star Wars
at the same time. Yeah. If you have to, the mindset you have to put into it as an old man, apparently, is that it's kind of it's a kid's show.
Right.
So I was watching it through my 12-year-old lens, which is not very difficult to do. And I was, reimagining if I was a kid watching it, if that was something new when I was a kid, I would have loved it. So I loved it. So I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Yeah. The first few episodes were great. I haven't finished it. I haven't watched really anything other than YouTube videos for a while. Let's do one more story and let's get out of here.
Okay.
It's late.
Is it?
It is. Hey, James and John. Oh, this is from Jude from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, James and John.
Well, hey.
This is kind of a short story, but when I was around 9 years old, I was going to Six Flags in the LA summer when the water park was open. And probably the second day we were there, I was casually making Cheetos mac and cheese like you do. And I was addicted at the time. And my friend / cousin, it's important because cousins aren't always friends. sometimes they're the worst people in your life.
Yeah, right. They're jerks.
I didn't have any, but I have heard that they could be terrible.
You didn't have any friend cousins?
I didn't have any cousins. My mom was an only child.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You still don't have any cousins?
Never will. No aunts and uncles either.
Do you want some of mine?
No, I'm good. I struggle with just the family I have left. I don't understand how anybody does extended family at all.
Hmm.
My wife has plenty of all that for both of us. So.
I guess, right. You can share.
Yeah. So my friend / cousin was in my RV with me. And when my mac and cheese was done, I opened the microwave, grabbed the mac and cheese. Cheese has been spelled differently every time I've read it, by the way. And this last time it was C-H-E-E-S. And it was really hot. And then I dropped it right on my foot, exclamation points. And I screamed so loud that I scared my cousin away. And my mom thought I was getting murdered. Holy crap, it hurt. And then my foot looked exactly like a freaking zombie foot. And every 2 seconds I had to dip my foot in hot in water because I am such a trooper and I will literally die inside if I miss out on something fun. I still went to the water park and I never went to the doctor. I do have another story about my cousin with how I got a major concussion, but that's for another time. Love the show. Hope it gets in. Jude.
Yes.
So this is why we read them in advance, people. Sometimes
you don't know what you're going to get.
You never know. You never know.
It's a grab bag.
Yeah. So,
James, have you ever burned your foot with food before?
Mike did.
Mike
from The Office. Remember Michael?
Oh yes. Yeah.
He burned his foot on a grill. Because he was trying to make bacon in the morning, so he had it on a timer.
And it was on his George Foreman grill, yeah. He used bubble wrap.
Have I ever burned my foot, though? I stepped on a hot coal one time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It wasn't with food. When I was in California a couple times ago, I walked on the beach, and I got blisters on my bare feet because it was so hot. During the summer. And
I wonder how dogs handle that. You know, you see these dogs walking around and they seem fine with the concrete, with the sand.
I was thinking that would, or in the snow, like how do their feet their feet don't not get cold. Cats too. Yeah. But no, I've only burned the bottom of my feet from sand.
Not mac and cheese. Foot looked like a zombie, but he still made it to the water park. That's all right. A little skin dripping down behind you. Yeah. You're dragging it around. No big deal.
No biggie.
Just looks like you got sunburn and you're peeling off your skin. That's all.
Yay.
All right. Let's get out of here. I guess it's as good a time as any. So, I forgot what I'm supposed to say at the end. That's how unplugged we are. Special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Kerry Wright, and Christopher Tynan. If you have a story you'd like featured on a future episode, submit your story, thatstoryshow.com. While you're there, join our mailing list for the latest updates. Please take a moment to leave a review in iTunes or Spotify. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks. You say you see a sign on the side of the road. It says, slow down, old man. You don't want to get towed. I ain't worried about that. I'm doing 20 miles an hour. And then I'm going to pull into the parking lot. And don't make me sour. Because I don't use the brakes. I use the concrete stop. And it hits really hard. It makes my head knock. And I go back and forth. Because I don't like how I park. And then I get another spot like Noah's Ark. I burned my foot.
There was cheese.
With some mac and cheese. I didn't let it stop me. Because I had to go on the water park and pee. That's
That's why the chlorine smells the way it does. It would be fine if you didn't put in your yellow stuff. It would be great if you kept it all nice and clean. But you pee in the water and it makes you feel mean. I don't know. That's dumb. That's why you prep.
That's why
fans. Hey, how you doing, podcast people? This is Stuff That Didn't Fit on the Show, where we put stuff that didn't fit on the show.
Which is the whole show.
Yeah, it's pretty much the whole show.
This is what we just recorded.
We did a whole show that's not a show.
We kind of did a whole the stuff that didn't. In fact, if you want, you can just cut some of that up and make it this part.
Right. We should cheat.
We could do whatever you could do whatever. You're the boss.
I could do whatever I like.
You know what I've been doing a lot of lately?
What's that?
Minecraft.
Really? You're back into
that? Yes. So that noise, you might still hear it because I can hear that the server has revved up. One of my coworkers made a Minecraft server here in the office. So if you want the IP address,
dude,
I'll give it to
you. I might actually be interested in that. Get more from That Story Show today. Support.thatstoryshow.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.